This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Viviana Hurtado. Michelle Martin is away. All summer long, we're talking to some of the country's most popular entertainers who are funny, really funny. They have brought their unique comedy styles to film, TV, stand-up, and more. It's our Make Me Laugh summer series. Today's funny man is Gabriel Iglesias. You may know him from his appearances on Comedy Central or his most recent project, Stand-Up Revolution. He's also one of the most watched comedians on YouTube. So what's his MO? Jokes about weight and what happens to him every day. There's also a good dose of voices and impressions. And we want to warn you that some of his jokes can be a little racy, so they might not be appropriate for all listeners. Here's a clip from his Hot and Fluffy tour. You'll hear one of Gabriel's many voices.
When I go to drive-thrus and they screw up my order, oh, I'm evil. I go back around and I start ordering, but I throw them off by doing this, right? They'll come on the speaker.
What kind of fantastic burger? How can I help you?
And I'll do this.
Hello, sir? Can I please have a double cheeseburger and order fries and a shake?
Double order fries and a shake.
Oh my God, yes.
They can pull up to the window.
Then I pull up. Oh, they're not expecting me. They come back with a bag of food, you know. Would you like ketchup? That's where I let them have it.
Oh my God, yes.
And Gabriel Iglesias and his many voices are here with us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I knew there was a catch with why I was on the air today. It threw me off because when they said they wanted me to do an interview with NPR, I'm like, I hope they know I didn't, you know, barely graduated high school.
Right. Well, actually, we're kind of a funny bunch over here, and so are our listeners. And so I have to say that as I was listening to this clip, I don't know what made me laugh more, your voice or your sound effects with, you know, pulling up to the, you know, to the window to grab your order. But you have to tell me, speaking about voices, so where do you get your inspiration from all of these voices? And if you can tell us which is your favorite one, is the drive up one of your favorite ones?
Oh, the girl voice definitely is the favorite voice because it's the one that people are freaked out about the most. You know, you see a 300 plus pound guy, you know, dark skin, and all of a sudden this white girl voice comes out of him and you're like, whoa.
It's a total Valley girl voice.
Yeah. Right?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that always throws people off.
So you've been on the mainstream comedy scene for more than 10 years. So can you tell us how you got your start? Because I was reading somewhere that you had sold cell phones in a Walmart before.
Yeah, that's actually where I got my start, in the Walmarts. Believe it or not, I actually had a friend, still have a friend, who had told me that there was a place to do comedy in East Los Angeles. At the time, I was selling cell phones at the Walmart, and my buddy was there working with me, and he said he'd seen these comics performing, and I should go check it out. And sure enough, it was a rough place. A lot of bottles being thrown all over the place, and comics getting booed off the stage. And I went up there, and luckily I survived it, and they asked me to come back, and that's when I started meeting other guys, and next thing I know, I was on the road within a month.
Did you get a chance to practice any of your voices on your unsuspecting customers?
I would only mess with people when they would call by phone, because then I could say, oh, you know, well, Gabriel's not available right now, but if you'd like to, oh, wait, here he comes. Hello. You know, and then I mess with them and go back and forth and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool.
Okay, so you're talking about how you got your start in this East LA venue. What made you want to become a professional funny guy, a comedian?
I love the attention. Trust me, you guys.
So where did that come from, though?
I don't know. Maybe it's...
Are you like one of a lot of kids or the middle
child? I'm the last of six, but you know what? Everybody else was already grown up and out of the house. There's about 14 years between my sister and myself. So basically, it was like growing up an only child, but, you know, people would visit. Hey, I'm your brother. Oh, really? I met you twice.
Anyway, yeah. So what kind of attention? You said you wanted to get attention when you were a kid.
What kind of attention would you get?
You could also be, that could be interpreted as being a smart aleck, and sometimes people don't like smart alecks.
No, I would not say I was never a smart aleck. I was always a shy, quiet kid in school. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't funny in school at all. I was not funny. I had really bad teeth. You know, being an overweight kid for all these years, it's just, I wanted to come out of my shell, basically. And when I got into comedy, it was nice. It wasn't people laughing or, oh, fat guy. It was just like, oh, my God, this guy's hysterical.
This guy's funny.
I found that laughter was a form of acceptance, and I really enjoyed that. And I crave it.
So who are some of your influences? some of the people, some of the comics. And sometimes our funny influences don't necessarily have to be comics. It could maybe be, you know, like the dynamic between our parents or, you know, like our grandparents, you know, los abuelos or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely my mom was, she was very inspirational in the beginning just because she was a character. And, you know, when she found out this is what I wanted to do, she's like, as long as you graduate, me vale, okay? As long as you bring home a diploma. And, you know, it took me all, and it took me an additional summer to bring home that diploma, but I did it. And, you know, her and obviously, you know, comedic influences like Eddie Murphy and Robin Williams and Cosby, all great influences.
And you were just talking about being very shy, really quiet when you were young, and that was kind of that you were overweight as well, and that being funny was a way of coping with that. And your weight is a big part of your comedy. You call yourself
offended.
You call okay. I don't want to offend. I'm
You're
just saying.
Not, don't worry.
But actually, along those lines of offending or not offending, you call yourself fluffy. And so I just want to play a clip from your "I'm Not Fat, I'm Fluffy" tour. And I love this because you explain the levels of fat. Let's hear the clip.
And I say fluffy because that is the politically correct term. For those of you that don't remember, I used to say that there were 5 levels of fatness. Reason why I say used to say is because now there are 6. I met the new one in Las Cruces. The original 5 levels are big, healthy, husky, fluffy, and damn. People ask, what could be bigger than damn? The new level's called, oh, hell no.
And so, oh, hell no came from Las Cruces? Like, how did that happen? I would have thought, you know, I don't know, órale, or something like that.
No. it was a really, really, really big guy, and I was at a show, and he was walking towards me, and he waved, and then he walked into the restroom. And there was 2 women behind him having a full-blown conversation, and I didn't hear them until he turned to walk into the restroom. That's how big he was. He was blocking sound.
Oh, no. So, okay, so is joking something, because you were talking about this a little bit earlier about being overweight, is it something that you've always done? Is it a way that you've been able to cope with being, quote-unquote, fluffy?
Absolutely. You know, definitely in my first special, I really talked about it a lot. And recently I tried getting away from it a little bit more just to, you know, just to show people that it is possible for me to be funny and not talk about that I'm a big guy. Obviously, I've capitalized on the whole fluffy thing. And I did that early on, more so for branding. I mean, I've done it so much with the DVDs, the I'm Not Fat, I'm Fluffy, the Hot and Fluffy, all the CDs and things that I've put out there have the word fluffy attached to it.
How did you come up with that term, fluffy?
Oh, it was, man, it happened so long ago. It was like a little nickname that my mom gave me. And, you know, you're not fat, you're fluffy. And come to find out, it was like a Garfield cartoon reference or something from back in the day. But I ran with it, and I've done it so much where if you Google the word fluffy, I beat out everything. I'm number one. I beat out bunnies, cotton candy, comforters, you name it. Anything fluffy is second to me.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with comedian and actor Gabriel Iglesias for our summer series, Make Me Laugh. For some minority comedians, Gabriel, ethnicity and culture and even race is kind of a really big part of their acts. I mean, I'm thinking about like Margaret Cho jokes a lot about her mom and her grandmother, David Chappelle certainly. But your heritage does come up in some jokes. It just doesn't seem to be your primary focus. You've even joked about not being a Latino comedian. Let's listen to a clip of that.
That's why it kind of bothers me whenever people go, you know, what is it like being a Latino comedian? I go, I don't know. I'm a comedian who happens to be Latino. What's the difference? The difference is my special will air on Comedy Central, not Telemundo.
So, okay, Gabriel,
like,
I will.
He's so angry.
But no, no, no. Look, I will submit to you some of these, you know, Nielsen would say that Telemundo, certainly Univision's ratings are completely taking over. But you bring up a really good point, and it's one that actually I thought about a lot as a journalist. I want to be known as a journalist. I don't want to be known as a Latina journalist. So why is it that it's been so important for you to be seen as a comedian who just happens to be Latino? You know, a funny guy who just happens to be Latino.
I think because we're the only ones that are really called out about it. You know, if you talk about Jerry Seinfeld, you just say Jerry Seinfeld. You don't say Jewish comedian Jerry Seinfeld. It's not to say that I don't, you know where I come from. I know exactly where I come from, and I'm very proud of it. But I don't want that to be a reason for people to want to like me or dislike me.
So what advice do you have for other comedians that are starting out or they're trying to break into your level circuit of comedy?
I think a big reason for my success has been, first of all, keeping the show very friendly. You know, I keep it very, no pun intended, I keep the show very fluffy. You know, I don't get political in my show. I don't get controversial. I don't get in people's faces. I don't try to tell people how to think or what they should do. It's a very fun show. It's just like, hey, check it out. I got some stories and I'll make it a little bit silly. And it's just a fun, friendly show. Everybody can enjoy it. And when you make a show that everybody can enjoy, you know, you're broadening your audience, your fan base. I get people that bring their kids to the show sometimes, grandparents. And don't get me wrong, my show is not squeaky clean. It's not squeaky clean, but it's not filthy either.
Tell us what you're working on.
Well, I got this movie coming out this Friday called Magic Mike. It's with Channing Tatum and Matthew McConaughey. And it's going to be a big, big movie. Oh, my God. There's all these other, you know, I guess, hunky stars in it. It's a stripper movie.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, look at the company you're keeping, and then you throw strippers in there.
Yeah, it's a stripper movie. Trust me. It's funny because on Facebook, there's women complaining that the movie's not in IMAX 3D. And I'm like, really? You want it that close, huh? You know, and it's a cool movie. It's kind of like a Boogie Nights flavor. And I play a DJ called, his name is Tobias. And he's a cool DJ at the club, but he's also the guy that kind of deals a little bit of stuff on the side, you know, to make ends meet. And he's got kind of a dark side, which is cool because I get to play a character that's a little bit outside of, you know, my norm.
I like that. You're pushing yourself. You're going past an edge.
Yeah, no, it's great. That's where the acting part comes in. So hopefully it comes out looking nice. And if I get a chance to do another movie and the circumstances are right, then I'll go for it. But comedy is my passion. I'm going to do this until I drop.
Gabriel Iglesias is a comedian, actor, and producer. His latest TV series, Stand Up Revolution, can be found on Comedy Central. He was kind enough to join us from our NPR West studios in Culver City, California.
Thank you,
Gabriel.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.